Sports Radio 92 on the game. Today from the Kia Studios at Colony Square. How about that? John Frigge with you till 2 o'clock. This is another song that I thought about for my open. One of the great anti-drug songs of all time. Master of Puppets. The drugs are your master. Master. Obey your master.
Oh, yeah. I did not know that.
Yeah, anti-drug song.
Big How about that?
Yeah. Like That Smell by Lynyrd Skynyrd or White Rabbit by Jefferson Airplane, one of the great anti-drug songs. Yeah.
Is That Smell, is that also anti-drug?
Yeah. Can't you smell that smell, the smell that surrounds you? Yeah.
I just thought they were singing about it.
A little smoke for your, a little coke for your nose. Yeah, that's what you want. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. I did not know that.
Yeah. Great anti-drug song by Metallica, Master of Puppets. Great album, too. Neither here nor there. So we have Texas Tech, Florida, 609. That will be on WAOK 1380 News and Talk. On the big station tonight at 7:30, Atlanta United, NYCFC from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I'm going to go to the game, and I will be there. Five stripes, say hi. I'll be shaking your hands out there, too. And Mike and Jason on the call, of course. Mike Connie and Jason Longshore. 8:49 on WAOK, Alabama and Duke. So, do want to get into a couple of tweets. We'll get into the Braves here in a few minutes, but I want to, and you're always welcome, by the way, to call up and talk about the success of the SEC in this tournament. You know, is the SEC kind of, you know, it's upping its game. I mean, the SEC's had a lot of success, but if you think about the SEC over the course of, say, the last 30 or 40 years, when it came to men's basketball, it was kind of Kentucky and Florida a little bit, and maybe a random LSU or something, right? And that was pretty much it. Now the whole league, you know, with 14 teams in and half the Final Four, everybody is upping its game. And so is the SEC the preeminent college basketball conference in the nation at the moment? Yeah, of course it is. You know, and so with the Big Ten, interesting, one Big Ten team in the Sweet 16, and the Big Ten hasn't won a national title since Michigan State did it in Indianapolis 25 years ago. It's been 25 years.
Can you call yourself a power conference in a sport if you haven't won a title in 25 years? I've long been saying this. The Big Ten is not a basketball conference because they haven't won a title in 25 years. It's unacceptable.
I was actually at that game.
Really?
Yeah.
And they
beat Florida.
And you handed the trophy to...
I did not in that game.
Not in that game. I assumed you would have.
I was just there.
I don't know. But the Big Ten, I just remember everyone used to always have these conversations about like, oh, is it the ACC or is it the Big Ten? It was always the ACC because the ACC could win titles. It wasn't just Duke. It wasn't just North Carolina.
Oh, the Big East has been better than the Big Ten for a long time.
But the Big East is better than they are too. I mean, look, the Big Ten is unacceptably mediocre in tournaments. They just are. The SEC's had multiple teams win titles. Multiple teams.
Yeah.
Big Ten's had nobody.
25 years.
25 years
yeah,
is a
Mateen,
very
it was Mateen, Cleaves, and Michigan State
time.
Beat Florida. That was Teddy DePay, Miller DePay, that team.
They're the bridesmaid conference. That's what the Big Ten is to me.
Yeah, but in basketball, but in football, they got all the bragging rights.
Well, for the last 2 years, they do. Yeah,
well,
things change quickly.
Well,
things change
I know,
quickly.
But I mean,
they got good teams. Look, I'm not.
What do you
I'm
want?
Gonna,
I mean,
I'm never going to question the brands in the Big Ten.
Excuse me. What do you want? I mean, they've got back-to-back national titles with two different teams.
You're right.
Yeah.
No.
Right.
I'll throw the flowers there. That's fine.
Let's go to the phones here again. 404-726-0929. If you want to talk about United, if you want to talk about the Braves, and I get into that tweet, and certainly Kirk Cousins. I'm going to walk you through this whole Chipotle thing here, this mess here. In a moment here, but my old buddy Mel is chiming in early. Mel, I hope I can hear you today on your phone there, Mel. I really do.
Well, I've been having a problem with my phone.
Yeah, I got it.
But you know what? You know what? Your guess you had, the expert when it came to basketball, I'm talking about tape.
Yep.
You know you're a Michigan State fan.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know.
But you know what? I'm so glad. He always talk about the coaches. It's not the coaches, man. It's the players. Even though I give the coaches a little credit. Now, they do get the players, but it's all about the players. And mention of the SEC. I told you the SEC going to be strong this year, man. Before this so-called March Madness. You know, the SEC is strong. All them so-called, the ACC, I heard you, everybody want Duke to win again, the ACC. But they're not going to win. Duke's not going to win this championship this year. It's going to be a team out the SEC, baby. They're the strong, like you were saying a while ago. When it comes to basketball now, the SEC, man. I was, you know what? Ole Miss, you know, I'm not an Ole Miss fan. Ole Miss should have beat the other Michigan team. But you know what? They had them on the rope, but they let them come back. You know, I don't want to use a little easy. Thank you. But, you know, I don't even look at basketball like I told you last time we talked. I don't look at basketball until the Final Four. But now, it's interesting.
Wait a second. You don't look at basketball. You just talked about the Ole Miss-Michigan State game like you watched it.
I did. I'm watching the tournament this year. John, what I'm talking about. The SEC this year, man. It's wrong. It's all about the down-south basketball. You know? And the last time we talked, you were talking about your boss, UConn. That made my day. I started watching basketball now. But like I said, the SEC, baby.
There you go. That's our buddy Mel. Alabama. We'll see how Alabama does against Duke tonight. And that should be a hella game. That's all I know. That should be a hella game here. 404-726-0929. Just wanted to hear from Mel. I could actually hear his phone today. How about that? Maybe it's just because I'm in the studio. I don't know. I've been having a hard time hearing Mel. It's been like Charlie Brown's parents.
Wah-wah.
Yeah. So, yeah. And I always like to have Mel try.
I think Mel got a new phone. That's what it sounds like.
Oh, well. Yeah,
sounds
about time.
Like Mel got a new phone.
For the first time since 1983. I mean, come on.
Mel's my man. I love that guy.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mel.
So, this Chipotle deal. So, I'm sitting on the plane at Indianapolis International yesterday on the Delta flight, we're just about to back away, and it hits my phone of this picture of the broke down liar with the staff at a Chipotle in Westlake outside of Cleveland. Okay. And dude's like, hey, Kirk Cousins is in Cleveland. And then later on, there's another picture at a barbecue in Avon where Kirk Cousins, I guess he's making a tour of like fast food restaurants in the Cleveland area. I mean, yeah, I know he does. And so when you're dripping like Chipotle, that's good. So he posts this thing up, and then Kirk responds to it, you know, with some kind of tweet that says something like, you know, I like my chicken with my salad, or I don't know. It was something weird. And so I send it off to Dukes. I'm texting, you know, Turtle. I didn't know if they had seen it, and I was like, if you have, disregard. And I don't know if they had or hadn't. I mean, Carl was and Chris were both getting back to me, but I was just like, because it was like it had been posted like 10 minutes before, and I just happened to see it. And sitting on the plane, and then I got to shut my phone off because well, there's no service, and I'm one of those fancy dancy flights. Okay, I'm on a no Wi-Fi flight. Okay, so there's literally no Wi-Fi, and because it's you know an older plane, it's Indy to Atlanta. We're not exactly flying to Amsterdam or anything, and so I land in Atlanta, and my phone comes, you know, beeps back on, and I have to see what the reaction is, and sure enough, and I'm like, oh my God, okay. Then comes the reaction to the reaction, okay? So here's the picture, because Kirk obviously wasn't trying to hide it, because he's sitting, first off, why is he going to a Chipotle, for crying out loud? I mean, you are a multi, I mean, you must like Chipotle. There's nothing wrong with it. I like Chipotle, too. I probably like Willie's a little bit better. Sorry, Chipotle. But anyway, I like Chipotle. It's fine. But, okay, and why are you posting pictures with the staff? And then responding to the photo, why are you doing this? I mean, if you're going to go to Cleveland, I mean, you don't just randomly decide, right, to go to, hey, I need some Chipotle in my life. I need some chicken with my salad. Okay. Well, I guess if you have to find one, you got to fly to Cleveland because, you know, there isn't a Chipotle in hell, I don't know where he lives in town. There isn't a Johns Creek. There's not one in Alpharetta. There isn't any in Roswell. There's not one in, you know, Buchanan. There's not one in Flowery Branch. There aren't, you know, Dallas doesn't have one, not in Ackworth, not in Kennesaw. There aren't seven in Marietta, none in Woodstock, none in Noonan. Peachtree City doesn't have one. I know that for a fact. There's none in Griffin. No. There's not one out in Stonecrest or out in Villarica. There are none in Midtown. There are no Chipotles anywhere around Atlanta. There's not like 60. But you got to fly to Cleveland to go to a Chipotle? And then Ian Rappaport tweets out and says, quote unquote, not NFL related. That he just happens to be randomly batching it in Cleveland at a Chipotle is not NFL related. Then, after that, Cousins' agent tweets out, just this. Who knew how much a visit to Chipotle could blow up a guy's phone facepalm? That's his answer? It doesn't take a brainiac to figure this out. I want to know what you think about all this. I'll tell you what I think next. Live from the Kia Studios, Midtown Atlanta. A lot of fun to be back in studio. John Fricke on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, live 11:21 in the morning on a Saturday morning. John Fricke with you from the real Kia Studios. Yeah. Garrett decided, I told you that I like heavy metal and I like funk, and he went full heavy metal here. This would be the original, the greatest heavy metal band of all time, and this is coming from a Metallica fan, but Black Sabbath was Black Sabbath. Okay. I'm not gonna argue. They're number one heavy metal band of all time. That's why Ozzy Osbourne, when he does the whole rock star thing, you know, yeah, he was a rock star.
You know, I saw this. I don't know what it was. It's this new generation, I guess. But somebody was talking to me. Post Malone, you know, Post Malone, obviously.
Of course.
He did a song with Ozzy Osbourne. And it was great. It was like Under the Grave or whatever it was. The song was awesome. And the funniest thing is people who are like under, I don't know, 20 years old or whatever, talking about, I was like, oh, wow, Post Malone, you're such a great guy giving this this new art, this different artist, like a platform to show his music. It's like, come on, man.
He's Ozzy. Okay.
Yeah, it's Ozzy Osbourne. Yeah, come on. Right.
Yeah, I think Post Malone and Jelly Roll are going to be at Mercedes-Benz.
That's the plan. That's where they're supposed to be. It's a big concert, too.
Well, yeah.
Post Malone's great in show. Yeah, I really enjoy watching Post Malone in concert.
So,
I've seen it twice now, I think.
If you want to be part of the program, 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Now, the tweets that came out of Chipotle Gate here, because that's what Garrett's calling it, and I'll roll with it. Out of Burrito Gate, whatever you want to call it, Chicken Bowl Gate. Are from Mike McCartney, the agent for Kirk Cousins, are what really got me to thinking, okay, there is Ian Rappaport saying it's not, his tweet was not NFL related. Because all of us are like, you know, I mean, for us to say nothing to see here, to go full Naked Gun, you're asking me a lot to go a lot of ways. And I can prove it by Mike McCartney, the agent's tweet, okay? Because he tweeted out, who knew how much a visit to Chipotle could blow up a guy's phone facepalm? That was his tweet. This is his agent. If it was just some rando trip for a golf tournament in Cleveland, if he was making an appearance at a charity function, if he was passing through town driving a Yugo from Toledo to Erie. But no, he's just randomly in Cleveland where the Browns need a quarterback and the Browns have been, Jimmy Haslam, the Browns have been super quiet except for that rumor, and thank you for editing that the dude came out with that Bruce Drennan guy, they're going to get Dak Prescott. No, they're not going to get that. That was, I was like, what the hell was that? No, they're not trading for Dak Prescott. You know, the only two guys that are in their wheelhouse right now, well, three, are Aaron Rodgers, Shedeur Sanders, and Kirk Cousins. What would Kirk have been doing in Cleveland except meeting with Kevin Stefanski? And so how do you hide it? Well, I'm going to be seen in Cleveland, so like I didn't go to some private thing with Kevin Stefanski somewhere where I'm seen walking in the door of the Browns facility, or I'm seen walking in the door of a private club or something, and I'll randomly go to a Chipotle so I can get some chicken with some salad.
Well, if he was a little smarter, he would do what Matthew Stafford did with Tom Brady. You know, when they were going through all that stuff where, we're just skiing in Montana. Oh, what are you doing, buddy? You remember all that happening, like, what, a month ago?
Yeah, I know.
That's a smarter way to do it. A little less.
But let's go back to his agent. His agent would have tweeted out after Ian Rappaport comes out and says, it's not NFL related. Okay, Ian, it's not NFL related. All the agent has to do is go, Rappaport is correct. It's not NFL related. You know, it's another thing. This is not about that. There's no change in his status. No. What does his agent tweet out? Who knew how much a visit to Chipotle could blow up a guy's phone? What did he expect? Because McCartney, he hasn't. That's the only tweet McCartney's feed. Okay, the only one. And the pinned tweet above it, if you go to at Mike McCartney 7, okay, is from 5 years ago. Now get this. This is Mike McCartney's the agent. And his tweet is, listen to this carefully, Ackward, so you can make it all right. My message, this is the agent, my message to a player that is playing poorly or has been benched. One, focus on fundamentals. Two, no excuses. Take responsibility. And three, stay off social media. If that's his belief and he's the agent, wouldn't he say to Kirk, hey, you can't offer any excuses, though obviously you did when you came out in the NFL Network and you violated that one when you said, you know, I was hurt. But three, stay off social media. And instead, he makes a point of not only going to Chipotle, not only going there and taking a photo with the Chipotle workers, and not only that, but then commenting on it. So did Kirk Cousins want to be spotted? Of course he did. He wanted to be spotted at a Chipotle in Cleveland. Why? Because he wants attention? What, does he think he's deflecting away from a private meeting with Kevin Stefanski about what, and Stefanski knows him, by the way. Obviously, Stefanski was part of the Viking staff at one point. You put two and two together. Frank is in McDonough, and then we'll get to Chris, 404-726-0929. Hey, Frank, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, man.
Listen, when it comes to Kirk Cousins, I mean, what's the old saying, why ask why? I mean, seriously, with everything this guy has done within the past year, this doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, either he's naive or he knows exactly what he's doing, and I'm kind of following your footsteps and saying this was meant by Kirk Cousins. I mean, his agent might be upset or something behind the scenes, but I mean, Kirk Cousins is only thinking about himself. You know, I'm sure his agent is asking why, and Kirk Cousins, like, you know, giving him some excuse. But this is the same guy who, I mean, was at the darn Super Bowl answering questions like his team was in it. Man, I'm like, why are you even there, man? And then, you know, costing us a draft pick and all that, and yet people want to say, well, just let the guy go. I'm like, why reward him? That makes no darn sense. And I'm glad Arthur Blank is finally putting his foot down instead of having this player loyalty. He's like, we're going to do what's best for the team. And I hope Arthur Blank takes that mentality going forward, because I think the team will get better when, you know, you put the team first instead of, you know, this loyalty aspect to these players. So I'm not surprised with Kirk Cousins. I mean, this is only a taste of what Cleveland, if they do get him, is going to get. But then Cleveland has a bunch of drama anyway. So, but maybe Cleveland's the best place for him because, you know, Deshaun Watson's not coming off that bench. So, I mean, maybe that's why he's trying to do his own negotiating. He's trying to talk to Arthur Blank, and maybe now he's trying to talk to the Cleveland owner.
Yeah, well, that's what I think, too. He's there to meet with Jimmy Haslam and with Kevin Stefanski. Cleveland has plenty of money. They redid Deshaun's contract, so they have $35, $36 million that they could play with. So they have plenty of money. And if the Falcons have said to Kirk and to Mike McCartney, his agent, hey, listen, go do a deal if you can, and then we'll decide whether or not we're going to take the deal. I'm going to give him my blessing to do so if I'm Arthur Blank. You go do it, but then we have to get what's the best interest of the team. And frankly, Frank, I think the best interest of the team would be that if Cleveland decides that they want Kirk Cousins, because Cleveland could come up. Look, Cleveland, I think, is enamored with the idea that Abdul Carter, the defensive end for Penn State, is going to be a star defensive end, and for a good reason. And they could pair him with Myles Garrett and have the best defensive end combo in the entire NFL, which they may have. And if they're not sold on Shedeur Sanders, and they may not be, they got to do something. What, they're going to do Kenny Pickett? That's what they're going to do at quarterback? They got to do something. So if Kirk Cousins goes to Cleveland, and he did, Frank, and they come back and they say, okay, Cleveland's willing to give you a third-round pick this year and eat a good, since they have the money, eat a good chunk of that contract, yeah, I'd do the deal if I'm Arthur Blank, sure.
Yeah, I would do it too, but the problem is I think Kirk Cousins, just to stick to the Falcons more, is going to wait until after the draft. So it'll be next year's draft that you're negotiating for.
Well, that's possible, okay, because he said that. But if he waits till after the draft, the Falcons have a card to play, Frank. And the card is to tell him, hey, so we see you went to the Chipotle there in Westlake. There, call up Mike McCartney and say, we see your guy went to the Chipotle. Did he meet with Jimmy Haslam and Kevin Stefanski? I mean, why would he be in Cleveland anyway? I mean, if he's trying to cut a deal, and if Mike McCartney says, well, yeah, he, you know, privately says, yeah, he talked to the Browns, and they're talking about possibly getting him, but Kirk's not going to waive his no trade till after the draft. My response would be, well, if he wants to go to Cleveland, then he probably needs to waive his no trade prior to the draft, because if he waits till after the draft, we won't trade him hell or high water. He could sit his butt on our bench all year long. We will not move him.
And I'm with that as well. I don't care if anybody says, well, you need to get rid of him. You don't need him. No, no, no. Exactly what you said, John. And if I'm Arthur Blank, I put my foot down to the Cleveland owners now. Whatever you're negotiating, it better be for this year's draft. Otherwise, right, he's not going anywhere.
Right, exactly. That's the card the Falcons have to play with Kirk Cousins. If you want to hold your no trade till after the draft because you want to make sure this year, what's he mean? He's meeting in Cleveland for two things, right, Frank? Number one, to find out Judge Cleveland's interest in him as a quarterback, and number two, to ask a question. He's going to say, Atlanta screwed me over with the whole Michael Penix thing. Are you going to do the same by drafting Shedeur Sanders, correct?
You're right.
Yeah, and if they guarantee him, nope, we're going to take Abdul Carter, then he might be good with it. Thank you, Frank. Do appreciate 404-726-0929.
And I think ultimately, if Kirk Cousins ends up staying in Atlanta, which I feel like it feels probable, like 70-30 that he ends up staying in Atlanta.
I have no feeling on this.
I mean, it's hard to tell, but that's just if I had gun to my head, that's my inclination. But I feel like Kirk Cousins, from everything that I've seen from him and heard from him and everybody I've talked to who's interacted with him, he's a great teammate. He's somebody who's going to work out and
really
be the backup.
Oh.
He will be the backup.
Good. I'm glad
on this team.
A great teammate who sold his team out by not telling anybody that was hurt and cost them a chance to win a division. Oh, that's
No, you're right, and I'm still pissed off at him for that, and
so
he deserves all of it.
Let me walk back on how great a teammate he is.
Well, no, but that's just from what I've heard. He will play his role on this team. That's all I'm trying to say.
No, I don't think so, because he's in Cleveland at a Chipotle, but I disagree.
Okay.
His whole thing is he went into Arthur Blank's office and said, I want to play this year. See, again, a lot of people seem to think that Kirk Cousins holds all the cards here. He doesn't. If he really, truly wants to play, the Falcons now, especially after this whole Chipotle gate deal, can call up Mike McCartney, his agent, and say, let me be clear. Arthur Blank could call him up. Josh Blank could call him up and say, let me be clear here. You know, Arthur says, Josh, you call him. And Josh calls him up and says, if he wants to go to Cleveland, then we need to strike a deal. He has to drop his no trade, and we have to call Cleveland. He's not going to do that till after the draft. If he waits till after the draft, he's not going anywhere. He's going to sit on our bench all year. End of story. I don't care what we're offered. We're not trading him.
I think it all comes down to who Cleveland wants. If they want Shedeur Sanders, if they draft Shedeur, then I think that's really what that conversation was about, is are you going to take Shedeur Sanders?
Right.
And I don't think Shedeur wants to go to Cleveland.
And I don't think the Browns are going to draft him.
I don't know. I think Abdul Carter feels like the option.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like.
All right, Chris and Mr. Jones, I want to give you plenty of time. Quick break, and then I'll get Chris and Mr. Jones. You can be part of this, 404-726-0929. How do you read Chipotle Gate on Sports Radio 92 on the Game? Remember, what is the one thing that Arthur Blank has zero time and zero patience for? The one thing. Now, see, he's doing this now. I'm trying to make a point about Arthur Blank. There's a video out there, by the way, if you've never seen it, you should just Metallica in Moscow. And they come out and they play Enter Sandman, the song. And they come out on the stage, and the saying, and you could look it up too, Garrett, that that was the largest attended concert ever in Moscow, that there are a million people, a million. And if you they turn the camera around, and it is a sea of people for miles. It's like, oh my God, how many people are there?
Could you imagine having to pee? Just having to go to the bathroom in that situation?
I mean,
that's terrifying. That's awful. That's too many people.
Yeah, standing at the stage, I'm looking at it going, I don't know what a million looks like, but if there's ever a picture of a million people standing, this might be it.
See, I know what 100,000 people looks like.
Right,
I
and that ain't 100,000.
That's, multiply that by 10.
Yeah, that ain't 100,000. I mean, it's like, oh my God. It goes as far as the camera can see in all directions of people. It's
that's terrifying. That's too many people.
All right. So what do you make of Chipotle Gate here? All right, so back to Arthur Blank. The one thing that Arthur Blank does not have any time for, as they say in the South, cotton to, okay? Lying. Lying, lying, lying. It took Mike Vick so long to get back to that car ride at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, not because of Bad News Kennels, and that was bad, we all agree. And by the way, just as an aside, I'm very proud of Mike Vick and what he's done and how he's changed his life around. I hope he does great things at Norfolk State. And it goes on from there. Big Mike Vick fan. But Mike Vick, the thing that cost him was the lying. He lied right to Mr. Blank's face. You could talk to me all you want about Kirk Cousins, man of God, all that thing, and it's great, and I'm sure he's a wonderful guy, and I probably like him. I really never had much interaction with him. But he lied to everybody. He lied to his teammates. He lied to his coaches. He lied to us. He lied. He came out on the NFL Network and said, I lied. I got hurt in that New Orleans game on that hit down on the 8-yard line. I was never the same player. But then the team would go back to him, and he lied to the trainer. Are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. I'm going to. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, a bit of a clerical error. That's what he said. Now he shows up at Cleveland at Chipotle Gate. And if I'm the Falcons, I'm playing serious hardball with him. You really want to play this year and Cleveland wants you to play? Then you have to drop your no-trade clause before the draft. If you do not, I'm going to put your butt. Not only am I going to put your butt on the bench, I may make you the third quarterback, the emergency quarterback. I may bring in somebody else. I've got a little bit of cash. I could sign me a Drew Lock or something. And they may have to anyway, because if he's gone, if somebody does make an offer during the year that's just stupid, you can't turn it down, you know. Oh, we lost our star quarterback. We got to give you, a number one pick or something. You know, I mean, that's not going to happen. But, you know, something stupid like that, you better have a competent backup who you're not just bringing it off the street. You know, somebody that's actually had some time with the team and has a chance to, you know, get the playbook down and all that kind of stuff. Let's go to Chris in Atlanta. Hey, Chris, welcome to the show. I appreciate your being patient. Thank you, Chris.
Hey, thanks for taking the time. So, first of all, I've seen Metallica multiple times. I actually caught two of their guitar picks, so I'm a big fan. But to the point about lying, common sense says that the Falcons organization is the one lying. Just for the fact that they had a team doctor, they saw them every day in practice, they saw the loss as if every day in practice, and they don't believe them, they can go call these doctors, like, hey, look, we're going to do a physical. So, I mean, perfectly honest, I mean, I don't have no allegiance to, like, Kirk Cousins, but, I mean, and when I had to believe Kirk Cousins or Terry Fano, I'm blaming Kirk Cousins because he told the truth when we got signed. I'm just saying we signed him way too early when we weren't supposed to. He told the truth about that. He talked about how he was on hurt and banged up. So we'll find out when the Netflix show comes out because he's on the second season of this quarterback. But I don't trust Terry Fondo, but among the two of them.
Okay. I mean, we didn't sign him too early. Signed him during free agency. That's not too early.
No, we talked him too early before the period. That's why you guys.
We talked to him. By the way, you know who gave that up, right?
It was him. He was telling the truth then.
Yeah. Well, why? Why would he do that? Why wouldn't he keep his mouth shut? If he kept his mouth shut, nobody would have been none the wiser. He was the one who couldn't keep his mouth shut.
Yeah, I'm saying he's dumb, but true. I mean, I believe the Falcons organization knew he was injured.
Well, they knew where he was banged up, but there's a huge difference between being hurt and being injured. You know, you can know the extent of things. I mean, if there's nothing torn there, I mean, if there's nothing broken, you can only take so many MRIs and so many CAT scans and so many this. But if you're going, yeah, there's nothing, something's not right there. And then to come out after the fact and then say that, I mean, the whole thing is just, it's just wrong. But I get it. I mean, Terry Fontenot's under a lot of fire. I get it. He's going to have to. It's important for the Falcons. All right, let me ask you this, Chris. Setting all that aside, do you think it's more important for the Falcons to keep Kirk Cousins as the backup for the entire year, or if they have an opportunity to trade him prior to the draft, that they should do so?
Oh, listen, the best thing for Falcons is to trade him. I agree with that. They're not going to do that before the draft because, I mean, Terry Fondo told him, like, hey, we're going to draft a backup quarterback. But they made it no point that they're going to draft a first-round quarterback. So that guy's paranoid. So he's not going to waive new trade clause, which Terry Fondo agreed to and gave him that right.
Well, if he doesn't waive the no-trade clause prior to the – I appreciate the call, Chris. If he doesn't waive the no-trade clause prior to the draft, unless somebody comes in with a banger of an offer for you, like take the entire contract and give you a first-round pick, appreciate it, Chris, I'm not trading him. I'm going to play hardball with him if I'm the Falcons. I'm going to tell him, look, now, especially now that this Chipotle gate has happened, look, you've got to make a trade. We got to make a trade we got what is today? I lose track. Is it the 30th? What's today? 29th? We got, 3.5 weeks? 25 days, right?
I think it's 30 days, isn't it?
No, I mean, the draft's on a Thursday.
April 29 or something? April
24th.
Is it 24?
Yeah.
Jeez.
April 24th. So,
yeah, I think
Green Bay.
Right.
Let's go to Mr. Jones here. Hey, Mr. Jones, welcome to the show.
What's up, fellas? Hey, I don't know why you can play hardball with Kirk Cousins all you want. He just going to laugh. Because I'm like, why y'all think anybody's going to trade for Kirk Cousins in the first place when you're trying to get off the fire trash? Nobody wants that trash. They're not going to pick up your trash for some more trash. That just doesn't make any sense. Then, like, y'all should keep blaming Terry Fontenot.
All right, so all right, Mr. Jones, just so we're clear here.
I'm going to see, go ahead.
Yeah, all right, you're not a Falcons fan, obviously. So let me ask you a question. I mean, because we're just, and it's fine that you're not a Falcons fan, but are you a swamper?
Am I who?
Are you a swamper?
No, I'm not a swamper. Absolutely not. That sounds like a Florida Gator, but I'm definitely not that either. So
that would be the other way down. They play in the swamp. I'm talking about people who actually live in a swamp.
But they're doing something that y'all don't do. They're doing something that y'all don't do. They're going to draft some Georgia players, and y'all don't do that. So
no, we only drafted three Georgia players over the last 2 years, but that's beside the point. Listen, let me ask you a question here. You think Kirk Cousins is trash compared to Kenny Pickett, or is he an upgrade?
Both of them are trash, but oh, okay. I'd rather just...
Who is your team, by the way, Mr. Jones?
The 49ers. But look, y'all have already paid him $60 million, right?
Yeah.
Don't just make him sit on the bench. Like, nobody's going to trade for him, so he's the best backup that money can buy for y'all as a team.
Okay.
You understand? Even though I am not a Falcon fan, my punishment is you're going to sit here on the team, right, be a great team player like you've always been. I'm not going to ship him off and let him go where he wants to go. He done already tricked y'all. He done swindled y'all out of money. He done did y'all like Bernie Madoff. You know what I'm saying? So make him sit and stay and be a backup. Y'all going to trade him off and let him get away scot-free with the money you done paid him? No.
No, we're not doing that. No, that's you're reading it all wrong. No. You're reading it all wrong. You know, I mean, besides, Falcons had a better record than your team last year, so you should be careful who you criticize. Look, the fact of the matter is this. They want to unload the money. That's why they paid him the $10 million, because they want to offload some of this cash. I want him to pay the whole salary. Cleveland's got
okay,
the money.
So look, think about it like this, Mr. John, right? Put yourself in the other team's shoes, right? Why do you want to take on all that extracurricular when I don't have to?
Because you got Kenny Pickett at quarterback.
In the business
Mr. Jones, if you think that Kenny Pickett and Kirk Cousins are the same player, that's not true. The one thing I can't deny is a healthy Kirk Cousins is still a hell of a quarterback. I mean, we just all know that. He's still damn good. Better than anybody you got. I mean, when he got injured.
Bob Bernie's been to a Super Bowl. I don't know when the last time any one of them boys been to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I've been to an NFC Championship and a Super Bowl.
Okay.
When the last time the Falcons been? I'm just saying.
No, I appreciate it. Yeah, well, it was
not a gang.
Yeah, all right, whatever. Bye. Enough.
One important nugget, though, is you got a coach in Stefanski who's trying to save his job.
Not only that, but you got Kenny Pickett at quarterback. And if you think Kirk Cousins, well, remember, Kirk Cousins gets injured, 6-3, three games up. He's top three in the league, and people are starting to put MVP talking about him going in and taking your trap. You went to Philadelphia and you beat. He was clutch. He was everything we paid him to be.
He won two NFC Players of the Week.
Yeah,
three in seven weeks.
He goes in on a game where we're honoring Matt Ryan and putting him up in the Ring of Honor and breaks Ryan's single game record in the same night. I mean, in front of Matt Ryan. I mean, it's a shame of what happened. It really is.
He was really damn good.
And it's a shame of what happened.
Yes.
And now what we've got is we had a hot, it's like you meet a girl and everything's just hot, and then it hit a wall and that relationship went to hell. And it's a shame. But it just went to hell. We have to have a divorce. We need to divorce. Okay? Let's go to David in Blairsville. Hey, David, I appreciate you taking the time. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks. How are y'all doing?
Good, man.
So I've got a little bit different view. I kind of agree a little bit with Mr. Jones, a nice voice on him. Why did the last couple of coaches get fired from Atlanta? What was the main problem?
Well, among other things, there was a quarterback issue.
Yeah, among other things, and that's true. So we probably way overpaid Kurt. It was a two-year thing. Where y'all are really missing it.
All right, so y'all again, who's your team?
Oh, I live here. I like Atlanta now.
Oh,
I grew up a Cowboy fan.
Well, don't say y'all. Okay, all right, that sounds fair enough.
Oh, y'all, I'm from the South.
No, I'm saying, but when you come in and say y'all, you're talking third person into Falcons fans, David.
I'm a Falcons fan.
Well, okay, then don't say y'all. That's from the outside in. That's what, Mr. Jones, that's the giveaway. That's the tell that you're not a Falcons fan.
Oh, y'all means anybody you're talking about.
No, it means not in this context.
Where were you born?
Dude, I moved here in 1977. I went to high school here, David. I got a little bit of it, okay? I've been around a minute.
Okay. I use y'all a lot. It means everybody involved in the conversation.
All us. Yeah, but y'all is, okay. Y'all is talking outside in. All right, I don't have to explain this to you. We all, okay? You're either with us or not. Anyway, so back to this. The fact of the matter.
Anyway.
Yeah, the fact of the matter
people
remains.
People have been talking about if we have Kirk Cousins as our backup quarterback.
Right.
We got the most expensive backup quarterback in NFL. And that's not true. We'll have a backup quarterback that we're paying zero for. Because no matter where Kirk Cousins is sitting, we have to pay $40, $50, $65 million. If he's somewhere else, we got to pay another, $8 to $10 to $20 million for a real backup. And unless somebody somebody gets hurt and somebody says, hey, I'll pay you $50 million to get him off your hands, keep him here. I hope we don't need to use him, just like with Pence last year. We hoped he never played. We hoped Kirk Cousins would have taken the 6-3 record and ended up, 12-5. That would have been great. But put him here, Don't trade him
okay,
for a
I think we're I appreciate it, David. Thanks for the call. And, good luck with the y'all with the Cowboys because they're a damn hot mess.
No, y'all, I tend to agree with David. Y'all can mean anything you're referring to.
Yeah, well, yes.
Any person you're
except
referring
when,
to.
When you're coming in
I know what you're
saying
too. I know what you're saying.
Y'all, that means I'm not part of you.
I think you're both right.
No, because I would say, you know, y'all swampers, okay, as opposed to we Falcons fans.
I get you. There's a lot of room on this fence, and I'm going to keep sitting on it.
Y'all, y'all prisoners, which is the same as saying y'all swampers. Anyway. Let's take a quick break here, top of the hour, and then Fred and Allie will weigh in here. My point remains here that I think we're muddling the mess here. Let's go back to the original point. What do you make of Chipotle Gate? Okay? Now, I'm not debating on whether or not the Falcons should make a move. I'm debating on whether or not – what do you think – what does this mean that he went to Cleveland? Do you buy in the story from NFL – from Ian Rapoport, it's not NFL-related, or his agent who said – oh, you know, it's just a bunch of tweets. Okay. Sports Radio 92 on the game.